Okay, we're picking up. We left off last time.
Also, because your name.
The end of towards the end of Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph. We brought down the two dots. This is the minus two dots towards the end of that first page. Again, the last thing we talked about was how Vidur works, what exactly the formulation you have to say. As we mentioned, Chatas, Yivisi, Pashati, different types of crimes you may have committed. You have to have commitment in the future, never do it again. And if you don't get it exactly to this Nusach, then it's not really called Vidur. Someone mentioned last time, I forget who it was, mentioned last time, that we don't say this Vidur even. Ana Hashem, Chatas, Yivisi, Pashati. We don't say afterwards, Lolam, Eini, Chozel, Adavar, Zeh, right? We don't say that. I think Eitan mentioned it maybe in the Svarik Nusach. And when you say Ana Hashem, we don't say that part, then we go back to it ever again. Kasha. Because according to Rambam here, that is the Nusach. If you don't say it exactly this way, it sounds like you're not Yotze. Okay, I don't know what to say about that. But the Rambam goes on and says, V'chein ba'alei chataos v'ashamos be'eshen revin korban seyan al shigasan o al zdonan ein mischaper lehen bekorbanam ad sheyasu tshuva v'yizvadu vidoi dvarim. When you bring down, you have other obligations, other chiyuvim, for example, to bring korbanos, the korban itself is not enough. You're not Yotze. If you give a korban for a chadas or for an asham, a chadas when you do something that was an accident, you didn't realize what it was, you did something an accident. When you bring the korban for your shogeg or for your mezi, depending if, again, if what you did wrong, you're not forgiven by the korban alone. It's not enough. You have to also combine that with tshuva and vidoy. Again, not that it's a mitzvah. We mentioned last time tshuva is not really a mitzvah, but you require tshuva plus vidoy plus korban in order to be forgiven. And he quotes the pasuk, "Shenema risvadeh asher chata aleha." You must also confess that which you chata, that's what you sinned regarding. He goes, "List." That's list number. That's part number two. We had part one, which is chet number one. He didn't say what chet was. A chet that has attached to it a chi of a korban of a chadas or an asham. Number three, v'chein kol mechuvei misus beizdin u'mechuvei malchus. If you get even higher on the scale of obligations of punishments, something you have to be killed for, something you have to get malchus for, a mischaper lahem b'misasam. You might think, but when you get killed, by the way, for us, killing is not a punishment. It's a form of kapara. We don't do things just to stop the punishment. We don't have a jail. There's no jail system in it's not really. We have your mikvah, but that's even to protect you. It's supposed to be a kapara as well. You do makos, someone will do makos. So if you do makos, you'll see that the jail at your mikvah is dafka for a kapara. It's to create a kapara. We don't believe in stam punishment for punishment's sake. And therefore, even when you do this whole action of chivim, you get killed by Beis Din, or you get lashed by Beis Din, it's still not enough to be forgiven. You're only forgiven. Again, until you do tshuva, and once again, combined with the actual confession, only then will you be forgiven. Now, if I asked you right now for a quick second, if I asked you, it tells us it went in a hierarchy of an order of the Rambam, right? First, we had stam, chet you do wrong. We don't know what it is, but it's not even chayav korban. Then those that are chayav korban, then those that are even worse than that, chayav misas, beis din, or chayav malchus. And finally, the last one, you expect to be some terrible action. You know, I hurt my friend. I went rafting with my friend, and we got into a little scuffle, and I damaged my friend, or I damaged his property. So it's similarly as well, he says, even if you already paid back what you did wrong, you paid him back already. Meaning, I've squared things off in an actual, as far as the financial element, I've taken part of it, I've given the money over. I'm still not considered, even I'm not considered forgiven yet. Again, until I've confessed and I've done tshuva from doing this ever again, as it says, "Mikol chatos ha'adam." So I have two questions right now to ask you. One I know, one I don't. One I think I know, one I have no idea about. Maybe you can share with me the answer. Question number one is the hierarchy seems to be broken right now. Again, it makes sense. Stam to a korban to a chai misis beizdin or a chai malchus. To hurting your friend, which, by the way, many of us probably have done that. We probably have done hurting our friend or hurting his property over the course of our lives. I don't think any of us, I hope not at least, have done anything wrong enough with warning and with intention to be chayav misa. And yet, on the last one on the list is the damaging your friend. So why is it in this order? Question number one. Question number two, and this one I have no idea about, but it's significant, I think. If you look at the order each time when the Rambam discusses what you have to do besides the actual korban, he always says, ad she'as tshuva, v'yisvadu. He says it in the Stam case. He says it in the next case of Misa. Ad she'asu tshuva v'yisvadu. And then by Chovo Chavero, it says Ad she'isvadu v'yashu. Milasus kedav olam. The order is flipped around. Why would it be by Chovo Chavero? The order is reversed. That first it says Ad she'isvadu v'yashu, and which means doing tshuva. So for some reason, I'm not sure why. That's why I'm not sure why. The Rambam flips around the order of what comes first, the tshuva or the vidui. Everywhere in the Rambam is significant. As Eir asked Rosh Yeshiva today, the Rambam is, you may say repetitive, but it's everything the Rambam is very significant. And over here is the one time the Rambam has the order reversed, where he says first to do the vidui, and then afterwards the tshuva. Yeah.
Maybe like, then, like if somebody does steal from his friend or damages his property or whatever, then they go to court and like they bring the court right there. Has to part of the court process is admitting to what you did wrong. So it might just be like how this system works.
You're saying it's a practical law.
Where it's cool, it's saying,
what if I never admit? Yes, I don't admit it. I deny it the entire time, but Aiden come against me and they challenge me on it and he wins the court case. I don't ever admit it. I mean, I don't have to admit in Beis Din. If I don't admit in Beis Din, I'm still chayiv. I'm still chayiv if I don't admit in Beis Din. It's not obligated that you admit in Beis Din to be chayiv. If they're witnesses against me, or if something happened, and they caught me in my lie, and I still deny it. It's not true. I say it's not true. I didn't do it. I still have to pay in the end. It's not required to admit in order to pay. I don't think. Hey, yeah.
You think the first thing you want to do is like when you do something with your friend. So video is like confession to the person. That's them using it wrong or to yourself.
It's really to Hashem in theory. It's to Hashem, but actually it's vadeh. Means until I confess my crime. Usually to Hashem. I don't think it's to the person. I don't think so. I'll get to it. But I don't think it's to the person.
It's to the person.
The person?
Yeah.
We'll get to the person later on. That's to appease him. That's not to admit to him. I don't admit to my friend.
You have to admit what you do to your.
I have to ask him for forgiveness. I don't admit. I don't confess to my friend.
That's the hardest level. It's not.
Oh, so now you're trying to give the answer now. I think Ethan's giving the answer now. The first question I asked. Ethan's going to suggest what I think is the answer as well. It's going in order of difficulty to be forgiven. I mean, what has to happen to be properly forgiven? Everything up till now, when you get to their fellow man, there's another twist. You can't, even if you do all these things, you're not forgiven until you're mefayis chavero. We'll see what it means very soon. Doesn't mean I have to admit to him. I have to appease him. If I admit to him, it's not enough. I have to appease him. I have to get on good terms with him. I remember Rav David Miller, the Rosh Kol, one time came in when I was in Gris many, many years ago. And he came in and he was like looking very downtrodden. And we said, Rebbe, what's going on? And he says, I had a terrible event happen to me over Shabbos. Someone came over to speak to him, and he was distracted, and he couldn't give the person the right time. And at the end, he went to the person, he said, I apologize, do you forgive me for not giving you the time? He says to him, no, I don't forgive you. Or Miller, like, what? You don't forgive Miller? He's the holiest person, you know, like we know. How can you not forgive Miller? And he's like, ugh, I have to go now with three people, and like, track him down, and ask Shuva again. There's a very lengthy, when another person is involved, it's a very lengthy process. So perhaps the Rabbi, what he was doing, was he was going in order of the ability to be quickly forgiven. The first case, we'll see this soon, this will discuss as well. The first case, the stam case, when it's not chayv a korban, you do tshuva right away, you walk away, you're done already. A korban requires a korban to be brought. Once you give the korban and you do tshuva properly, you're done already. And even chayv mis in Beis Din, or chayv machlis, though it's a very severe crime and a very severe penalty, the moment it's carried out, you're done already. But when it comes to your fellow man, this is a very scary thought, by the way, because we probably are much more guilty when it comes to the fellow man part. Your fellow man, you're not forgiven no matter what you do until you go to your friend also. So the Rambam is bringing down the hierarchy of how easy it is to take care of business and to kind of square things away. The hardest thing is when you get your friends involved. It's the hardest way to take care of business. Yeah?
Why isn't the Rambam down that you have to appease him?
Why is it not there yet? It's a good question. He's going to mention that later on, but it's not in the... I guess this is between us and the Kadosh Baruch Hu still. We're still between us and God. But you are right. The appeasing part is what holds you back from getting tshuva right away. But we haven't really got to... We did say you paid him. That's like getting your lashes. That's the crime you have to kind of... But the extra stuff we'll see later on only. He'll get to that later in this parak. Yeah, Aiden.
Are tshuva ever come before confession?
Because if you think about it. No, the opposite. What's tshuva mean? Tshuva is a very personal thing. It's a very personal thing. I feel bad for what I did. I regret. I don't want to do it again. And then once I've gone through the process like that, now I'm going to come along and I'm going to say, I'm ready now to declare my crimes. So oftentimes it requires a method. That's really, I would say you can't ever do vidui without doing tshuva first. Because vidui without tshuva is like, I'm not ready to do tshuva yet. I haven't done tshuva, vidui means nothing. So it's like, yeah, I'm sorry, maybe I won't do it again, I don't know, I've figured it out. So I'm like, what, that's not really, I'm sorry. Vidui requires you to have come to a certain level of like acceptance that was wrong, and I will try not to do it ever again. That's what's required when it comes to a real proper vidui. Okay, that's all halacha base. Sir Mishalech is a very, we're going to see a very, very unusual and even difficult to understand, at least for me it is, rule here. Sir Mishalech, Lefishu Kapar Lechol Yisrael. The Sir Mishalech, which I hope you're aware of, is a part of the avodah that was done by the Kohen Gadol in the time of Yom Kippur. They would take two animals. One animal would be offered as a korban. One animal would be thrown down. This is a Sir Lazazel. These actions, this avodah Yom Kippurim, acted as a kapara l'chol Yisrael. Now, how do you do vidoy? How does Kol Yisrael do vidoy on a korban? It's not possible. So we have representative. That representative is our Kohen Gadol. So it's Kohen Gadol misvada alav lashon Kol Yisrael. The Kohen Gadol confesses using a plural lashon on behalf of all. He's the shliach of Kol Yisrael, as he says, misvada alav as Kol Avonos Bnei Yisrael. So that's already your question. What is it? How can I confess for somebody else? How can a Kohen Gadol confess the crimes of another person? You know, two people did wrong. They say, you know, both of us are sorry. I'm like, I didn't hear him say he's sorry at all. Now it's true as a technicality. What are you going to do? How you possibly get, you know, we're all going to go there, the whole class is going to go together, but they're going to go and say, we're sorry, it's not going to happen that way. But even if it's practically impossible, how can someone else do a vidui on your behalf? And it's going to get even weirder in a minute. It's even more difficult to understand. The Sefer Shalech is mechaper on every single thing you do wrong. The worst of crimes, once the Kohen Gadol brings this offering and throws the animal down on Yom Kippur, you're good, you're squared away. Bein shavar, but even if I do bezadon, bein shavar b'shkaga by accident, bein shlodo, whether I knew about it, I didn't know about it, no matter what happened, I have the worst record, the worst crime on my record. The moment the Sefer Shalech is brought and Yom Kippur is there, and the Kohen Gadol says, "Forgive all of Klal Yisrael," I'm good to go. Hakol mischaper b'Sefer Shalech. Now here's an important line: v'hu sha'asa tshuva. Okay, that makes me a little better, at least, right? At least if you do tshuva in the process, you don't have to do the vidur part. Why? Because the vidur part is done as a representative of all Klal Yisrael, which the Kohen Gadol does for you. But you have to have a tshuva process. It makes a lot of sense. You can't sit back, continue doing the crime over and over again, and have someone say he's sorry about it while you're doing the crime and be forgiven. That doesn't make any sense. So at least you have to do tshuva for what you did wrong. Okay, that makes a little more sense. Now, here's the difficult part. Oh, not yet. Oh, here's the difficult part. Aval im lo asa tshuva, but if you did not do tshuva, ein asir mechaper lo, pause, you're not forgiven. And you think like, okay, makes a lot of sense. And then all of a sudden, Rambam says three more words. This is very difficult. Ela ala kalos. Except for the easy things you didn't do that weren't so serious. So I didn't do tshuva. I mean, I stuck to my guns. I committed, and we'll see how you define the word kalos in a minute. How you define a non-major avera. We'll see what that means in a minute. Why in the world would I be able to be forgiven by God when I do not regret what I did? I even plan on doing in the future. Okay, so the Kohen Gadol brought the Sefer Shalech. But so, what is it with me? I'm sticking to my guns. I refuse to apologize for what I did wrong. I plan on tomorrow doing it again. And you're forgiven because someone brought the Sefer Shalech? It's a very hard thing to understand, but that's what the Rambam says. He's now going to define what the kalos mean, but this question is a very difficult question, which requires a lot of understanding, which I'm not sure I even have right now to properly share with you. I can give a shot in the end, but I don't know if it even makes sense so much. So if you have a suggestion as to why in the world one of the what we could say is something very simple. If you ever hear the idea of a tzibur, stands for, it's a group of people, tzadikim, beinonim, urishayim. This idea that people who are urishayim also are part of a tzibur. Last year we spoke about some guys who wanted to daven at their own pace, their own leisure. They didn't like davening minyan. It was too hard for them to wake up, whatever it might be, different pace than they wanted. There's an idea that when there's a tzibur involved in something, you have the opportunity to kind of like ride on their coattails and get things accomplished that you don't deserve to have accomplished, and you on your own you would never get done. I'm going to davening, and I have zero kavana, but I'm part of a tzibur that is mamish crying out the hearts of God's baruch Hu. So my tefillah with the tzibur has the power to penetrate the gates of heaven, even though I'm only there as a kind of a bystander. I'm not even really part of it so much. I'm not screaming my heart out to it. Remember when I was applying to yeshiva myself back in the day. So I'm not sure how your, I mean, I know some of your first, I actually interviewed some of you, but some of you, I don't know how it went. And when I was back in the day, they actually told me they interviewed us multiple people at a time. They told the story to you beforehand, but if they haven't, I'll share it with you. It was when I applied to one of the Hezri Yeshivas that I did not go to in the end. So they asked for two people to volunteer to go first. There were six of us who were applying, and there were four of us who were like a bunch of jokers and two very serious guys. I was among the joker group. Anyways, who wants to go first? The two serious guys raised their hand. We want to go first. I'm looking around the other four guys. I'm like, well, it's either me and the jokers or me and the good guys. I'm like, us three will go first. The three of us will go first. And P.S., I didn't know a thing they were talking about in the interview. I got in. Why? Because they had a very fond memory of our group of three. It's true, I did nothing at all in the process. I probably answered questions wrong, but my friend picked me up and gave the right answer. And we all were remembered favorably. We were at Seabor. I was the rush of the Seabor, I guess. But we got in because, even though I know what I was talking about, the group got in. There's a very important concept called the Seabor. And the tzibur means that the people, and by the way, it has to do with not only with davening, but with everything in life. Your chever of people has a tremendous impact on you, both in a very, you know, understandable way, and also in a less understandable way. Things you don't even realize are happening. With the tzibur, you're brought along with the tzibur. There are rules. The people see those musar peace. Maybe I think what they were eating last year about the klal, the koach of the klal. That a klal has the opportunity, you're with people together. So, you know, it is a very serious thing. The Jewish people, for example, were told, do not, in the story of the night of Pesach, when Hashem was killing all the firstborns, do not walk outside. Why not? Because Baruch Hu can't figure out that it should kill me. Wait, just don't kill me. I'll walk outside. Let me see what's going on around me. Why am I told I can't walk outside? So the answer was, when you give reshus for the mashkis to come along and do his damage, then there's a group of people that are in danger. And if you go out there and be part of that, then you have the chance of also being part of that group. And you could also be killed, even though you're not deserving. The tzibur is deserving. Nobody is safe. If the chevra, the gemara brings down, if the chevra, something happens to the chevra, then everyone should second guess how they're doing right now. They all should be worried about their life right now, because the chevra right now, someone in the chevra had something happen to them, we're all now worried. Maybe it'll happen to us too. Why? You're not them. Because we're a chevra, we're a group, and the group is a group. Yeah, are you? Question or no? Okay. So perhaps that's the answer, even though, and again, it's a very hard thing to understand, but even though I do not do tshuva over the isra I did, that's a kalos, that's one of the lighter things, I can still be forgiven, tremendous kiddush, I can still be forgiven, even though I haven't done tshuva before. Now, how do you define a kalos? An easy one. Here's a very interesting definition. Umayin a kalos, umayin a chumrus. How do you define what's considered a lighter crime and a more serious crime? Hachamuros, heina averos, shechayavin alein, mitzvot beizdin, okaris. This one you probably would have bet. Someone who's deserved to be killed in the court of law, someone who's chayav spiritual, you know, being cut off excommunication spiritually, or it could mean that you're childless, or it could mean you die, whatever it means, the karis and machlokes is what it exactly means. But those are very serious crimes. That's in the chamuros category, which means if you do not do tshuva for them, Sirim Shalech will not help you out. It doesn't forgive you if you haven't done tshuva for them. If you do tshuva, that's enough. These over here, ushvuas shav sheker. And also, if you swear falsely, that's a chamuros. This is a very big jump from Mises Bezdin and Karis to Shua Sheker. It's not a good thing just to lie in God's name or swear for no reason. Shua Shav means it's a Shua that I don't need to say I'm a person. I swear I'm a person. That's Shua Shav. I don't need to make a Shua about things that are so simple. And if I do so, it's a crime that if you do not, it's lumped up there, it's linked together with the greatest of crimes. It was Mrs. Bezdin and with Chivei Malkus. Why? How come? Why is it such a serious crime? If it's still among those more serious crimes, we'll get to the answer in 1 second, hopefully. But other mitzvahs, lo sase, which are not chayav karis and not chayav Mrs. Bezdin, and every mitzvah ase, sheimayim karis. Anyone know the two exceptions? Mitzvah ase have karis to them? Pesach and Milah are the only two cases of mitzvah ase that have, if you don't do them properly, you get your chayav karis. But bris Milah, it really works is if you give a bris Milah at some point in your life before you die, you get rid of your karises, karisai. Is machlok actually you karis every single day? Maybe even there's a whole machlok about that. But if you get bris mila at some point in time, you're okay. But mila and pesach are the only two assays that have karis attached to them, and therefore, besides those two, every other mitzvah assay that you violate, and every other assay does not have mises bezin or karis attached to it, you are forgiven without tshuva. However, shua shav and shua sheker. Sorry, Charlie, you do that. It's considered part of the chamuros, and therefore you can't be forgiven without tshuva again. Why anyone can be forgiven at any point in time without having tshuva? We discussed maybe the reason why the tzibur example, even though it's hard to understand still, but maybe that's an answer. But why would tshuva shav and tshuva sheker be lumped together? If they don't fit the punishment category, why lumped together with the other averus? How come? What do you think?
I gave real confession if you're a liar.
What's that? Because your koach of your dibur has you tainted your ability to confess even?
You can never do tshuva, though.
If you can't do vit, you can never really be forgiven. So even if I do,
you can't trust the Lord. You have to be real true, but don't say.
Why cry wolf?
My mouth has been used. I spoiled my mouth.
Who's accepting your tshuva? It's Hashem. So obviously, if you're doing real tshuva, that means you're not lying.
Okay.
Hashem knows.
Well, maybe it means maybe.
What about the tshuva to the other person though?
Yeah,
that's right, true. You say other things, other crimes in mouth. Yeah. Other crimes in mouth. So my answer is going to answer that like it's still differentiated. I don't know if it's right or not, but I remember when I was taught in Florida many years ago in Wyandam, Wyandam Yeshiva High School. So I gave a shiur. Not before their time. Before their time. I mean, Yitzchak was alive at the time, but I knew your father. But I know this was annoying. Right, but Ari's grandmother. Your grandmother was my boss, Ari, right? Mrs. Schultz is my boss. She was more of the secular education, but I always cowered in fear of Mrs. Schultz. She's a tough lady. We got along very nicely. You did kiss up to her. I kissed up to her a lot, but she was a tough woman. Anyways, I remember when I taught, I don't remember which commentary suggests this, but when I taught in Weinbaum, we did something Sarah DeRosa, and we discussed the idea of why is you know, swearing falsely, why is it such a terrible crime? It makes the Big Ten, even Ten Commandments, it's in there. Why is being a false aide or swearing falsely, why is it such a terrible crime? So I forget who said it, but the shot I read, by, I wish I could quote it to you, maybe I'll quote it next time if I can find it, is that you have no desire, you have no taiva to swear falsely. You know, I'm not like, oh, I really want to swear falsely right now, or swear for no reason. I hope someone's around so I could say God's name and say something that doesn't matter at all. It's not a taiva that we go through life with, which means if you do that, we mentioned last time also, it's a little bit like more lahachis. That's more of like just an act of rebellion. It's not a burning, yearning desire that one has in his life. And therefore, once you commit a crime like that, that is Lashon Hara is different. Lashon Hara, we do want to, you know, spill the beans. I want to share the gossip. I have such juice to share about someone. I'm dying to tell someone about it. But when it comes to Shavuah 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 Sheker, like why? If you make a Shavuah 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 Sheker because I want to be in a court of law, so maybe it's different. But Stam, Shavuah 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 Sheker are things that don't really, it doesn't matter. But you do it anyways. It's a violation. It's such a blatant violation of God's name, of such a lack of respect, that maybe it spills into the level of a chamurus there. I don't know. That's the only thing I think of. Judah, yeah.
I don't know if I agree that it's not like a title. Like people that lie all the time because they can't help themselves. And then there's just like, you're just around and you're talking to your friends. They're like, oh, like, how much money did you make? And you made $150 and you want to impress them. So you say like, $220, you know?
I know.
You know, like you say, like, just like, you just throw out, like,
Exaggerate. Right, yeah, you know, it's different to exaggerate a comment, and to mamash take a shvuah sheker. It's not some saying things falsely. It's not sheker, it's a shvuah sheker. It's a shvuah shav. For someone to walk around and be like, "This, I swear to you, this is a pushka. This is a stuck box." Okay, everyone knows this. Why would you possibly do that? Like,
shvuah shav v'sheker.
Right, which means those are two types of shvuas. If one violates the shvuas like that, shvuas shav and a shvuas sheker. Those when you, and that's why I said about the mouth. But you know, Arya is also right that we don't have lashon hara on there. It's not or cursing on there. And so those, maybe one could argue those things are more taiva based. And when it's taiva based, and it falls into a category of less, even though it's bad to do, it's less serious to do. Yeah, no.
You could think of a shvuas sheker that's taiva based. Like let's say I want to get something out of someone, so I lie to them.
In a court of law, I'm trying to get money.
Yeah.
Okay, Noah's right. You could have a shvuah sheker, a shem Hashem shvuah sheker, because I have an agenda, and that was true. That would kind of take the air to my sails over here. That would not shvuah shav would still be makes up shvuah sheker would make less sense. He's right. I don't know. I'm not sure if you can think of a pshat as to why exactly this would be in the category of chamuros when it's really doesn't seem like such a terrible thing. It's a good question. I'm not sure that my answer is not. Yeah, you have a pshat.
So I have maybe a possible.
Okay, let's hear it.
Answer. Not that you've tainted your kof hadibur in Hashem's eyes, but that psychologically you've tainted your kof hadibur because you're so used to saying things that aren't true. You're so used to just throwing out things that you have to fix something about that.
So it's just asking, but even a single violation of that, I'm not even a repeat offender. Apparently, it's just like I don't know how much I did it.
Well, that shows that you don't understand the power of your own speech. So if you don't understand the power of your own speech for the bad, then how can you understand the power of your own speech for the good?
Lashon Hara. The kasha is better than the answers. You ask my answer. Also, I hear that. I don't know. I mean, if anyone can come with a pshat as to why it makes the cut over here, why it's such a serious thing, I would love to hear a pshat on that. I'm not sure myself. I gave a suggestion, but Noah's right. That only applies to shav, not so much to sheker. I didn't see anyone talk about it, though. Comments on the page and not talk about it, at least. I'll continue researching, and hopefully I'll find something. Bleneder tomorrow, if we can, we'll find time to finish Halacha Gimel, and maybe Halacha Dalet, if we can. We'll find some time. We'll the WhatsApp group. We'll give a little shout-out to when it's going to be. And then we'll continue this next week as well.